Brad Locke.
And I'm Dalton Milton.
And you're listening to Prep Rally, a podcast covering high school sports in Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Hey folks, welcome into a new episode of Prep Rally. Brad here with you, Dalton here as well on this Wednesday, the 28th of March. Dalton, how's it going, man?
It's going pretty well. My birthday, so hey.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Birthday boy here. Happy birthday to Dalton.
Yeah, so I'm having a good day, I guess. You know, checking Facebook notifications every 10 seconds to get all these things off my wall.
Yeah, it gets kind of annoying.
It does.
I didn't post on your Facebook because I was going to tell you in person. So happy birthday.
Thank you.
23. So young.
Yep, the big 23. I'm getting on up there. Getting old.
Yeah, shut up. God, you're only 2 years older than my oldest kid. Dalton and I will be here with you for the next 15 to 20 minutes. Got a lot to talk about. Got some coaching news to talk about, some big coaching news, Dalton, to talk about. Got baseball, of course, going on. We're right smack in the middle of that. We'll have your athletes of the week, as we do every week. Just a reminder, you can access this podcast every Wednesday in iTunes, any of your podcast apps, or at preprally.djournal.com. Also, check us out on Twitter at djournalpreps. Let's start with the big coaching news of the week, Dalton. Learned about this on Friday of last week, that Chris Bird is not going to be retained as the Kossuth girls basketball coach, which came as a surprise to me, and the surprises kind of keep coming with this story. We had an update in today's paper. I finally got on the phone with the Alcorn County School Superintendent Larry Mitchell. And let's go back to last week, and I was able to speak with Chris on Friday, as well as the Kossuth principal, Travis Smith, who said he had planned on recommending Chris remain as both the boys and girls coach. He took over as the boys coach this past year after being an assistant. He had been girls coach for 3 years, so that was going to be the recommendation made to the school board. But before that could happen, Larry Mitchell handed down a directive that Bird would no longer be the girls' coach, but could remain as the boys' coach and as a teacher. This was news to Chris Bird. Now, again, I finally spoke with Larry, could not initially get him on the phone, got up with him on Tuesday. He said there was a verbal agreement that Chris would step down after this season, and so the middle school coach, Angie Malone, who's been coaching the middle school for a while, could take over as the varsity girls' coach. Chris says there was no such agreement. And in fact, he had received assurances from his superiors at Kossuth High School that he could, if things went well this year, as they did, that he would get another year at least coaching the girls. And so we have a point of contention there. Larry Mitchell says one thing, Chris Bird says another. I can, you know, suss that out however you want in your own mind, but it's I'll use Chris Bird's words when he first talked to me about it on Friday about this whole thing. It's curious. Yeah, it's one way to put it.
That's an understatement.
I mean, Chris, he's done a good job. I mean, he took that program from mediocrity to this past year going 27-3 and coming very close to reaching the to reaching Jackson. I think they lost by a point in the second round of the 3A playoffs. If they win that game, they're on to Jackson to the quarterfinals. So played in a very tough division. 1-3A is probably the toughest girls basketball division in Northeast Mississippi, with Boonville and Belmont, and even a team like North Pontotoc is no easy out. And so, you know, he did a good job. And even Larry Mitchell said, yeah, he did a good job, but he felt that Larry Mitchell felt that Angie Malone was passed over for the job 3 years ago when Chris Bird got it. And that was the same year that Larry got elected superintendent. Little background, Larry was principal at Kossuth from like 1978 to 97. He retired for a while. He was elected as superintendent in August of 2015, about the same time that Bird was hired to take over the girls. Mitchell thought Angie Malone should have gotten the job at that point, and he says now what he's doing is, quote, righting a wrong. So, again, I'm not going to offer my opinion on that. It's not my job in this case.
It is a curious.
It's a sensitive subject, I'm sure. I mean, Travis Smith, the principal, declined further comment when I contacted him Tuesday. I can't really blame him. But Chris Bird is just kind of at a loss, and it sounds like he's not going to stick around. In fact, one quote he gave me was, you know, he's been asked by people if he's going to stay on as boys coach or maybe go coach at another school in the county. And he said, my question is, why would I do that only to have it pulled from under me once built with no logic or explanation? So he feels like the rug got pulled out from under him.
I understand that. I can't say that I wouldn't feel the same way if I was in that position.
Yeah, me too. Especially if you think, no, there was no verbal agreement.
Mm-hmm.
But Larry Mitchell says there was. In fact, Larry Mitchell said that the thought was Bird initially, according to him, was that Bird would step down after last season, but Bird wanted another year, so he gave him another year. And now here we have it. Chris Bird is out as girls' coach, probably not going to return as boys' coach. And so, and it looks like, and it's not official, but Larry Mitchell says Angie Malone will likely be the next girls' varsity coach. And they've got a good team coming back. They got Morgan Hodum coming back. She'll be a senior next year, really good player. And, you know, so I'm sure they'll be competitive again. And, you know, from all I've heard, Angie Malone has done a good job with that junior high program, certainly getting the girls prepared for Chris the last few years. So I don't know, man. It's just one of those things, high school sports. I mean, you don't know if it's politics or what it is.
Yeah, you got to be careful. I mean, how many games you got to win to keep a job there?
And I'm not sure this was about winning necessarily. I mean, he won 27 out of 30. Mm-hmm. It's hard to do a whole lot better than that. That's the latest. Check out today's journal or djournal.com for that story. Some other coaching news, Jeff Talley. If you know anything about Morville sports, you know the name Jeff Talley because he's been there a long time. Jeff has been serving the last few years as athletics director and girls basketball coach, and I think he's also been coaching cross country. He is retiring after being at the school 29 years. He was there. He came there as a coach in 1989. He graduated from Morville back in 76 and went off to college, worked for his dad for a little while, and then in 89 joined as a assistant coach. He helped Rex Berryman a lot with the basketball and baseball teams. Rex, of course, a coaching legend from Morville, put that baseball program on the map. And Jeff has coached pretty much everything. He's been a head coach or an assistant coach for pretty much every sport that they play at Morville, from football to baseball to basketball to track and field to softball. And again, he's been the AD the last few years. And so he's done everything. And he's also like one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet. In fact, I was talking with Rex Berryman this morning. And this was just announced earlier today, by the way, by the school, that he's retiring. But Rex was like, yeah, when I think of a nice person, I think of the name Jeff Talley. And if you've ever dealt with Jeff Talley, that's a very accurate description. In fact, I just saw him last night when I went out to cover a Morville baseball game. I saw Jeff, and nice to see him again. And had a good talk with him today, and he said it was just time. You know, he's 60 years old, doesn't look 60. And, you know, he's coached all his kids. By the way, he had four kids that went through Morville. He was able to coach I think most, if not all of them, at one point. I covered his youngest child, Rachel, his daughter. She was our softball player of the year 10 or 11 years ago. Really good athlete. They're all good athletes. Jim Talley is one of his sons, is currently the boys' basketball coach. So quite a legacy for that family at Morville. He's kind of an institution there. But he's going to take some time to spend with his grandkids. He's got four grandkids. He and his wife, Lisa, want to travel a little bit around the region. They like to do that. So he said it was just time. And so it's a big loss for Morville and really for the coaching community. I mean, this is a guy that he coached everything. I mean, Dalton, you see a lot of coaches these days anyway. And, you know, back when he got into coaching, it was maybe more common that a coach would just coach whatever was needed. But these days, usually you're going to have a guy who he'll coach basketball and that's all he coaches, or baseball or football and that's all he coaches. Jeff was smart enough to be able to coach whatever was needed. You don't see that, I don't think, as much these days.
No, you don't. Sometimes you see it in the smaller schools, the 1A, 2A, 3A. But
this is a 4A school.
Yeah, it doesn't happen very often in the big schools.
No, I mean, it's a school that's grown. It used to be 3A, and back in the day, I think it was 2A. But it's a school that's grown a lot over the years. But he's been there in just so many different capacities and has been pretty successful. He was a good athlete there as well. He won some state titles in track and field and in baseball as well. In fact, he played for Rex Berryman in basketball and baseball. So, yeah, I'll have a story on Jeff for Thursday's paper, so look for that, and I wish him well in his retirement. I'm sure he'll still be hanging around Morville and going out to ball games and whatnot. But again, that retirement effective at the end of the school year, Roman Doty will take over as athletics director. Let's talk some baseball. Speaking of Morville, like I said, Dalton, I got out there last night, saw them play Pontotoc in a big division game, and Morville, they look good, man. Their record is, I think, now 9-7, but 4-1 in division, and
that's all that matters.
Yeah, and the bats really kind of took off. And in fact, Derek Thompson, the coach, said the BP they had yesterday afternoon was the best they've had all year, and it carried over into the game. They had four home runs. Jacob Hughes had two of them, including a grand slam that broke a 4-4 tie there in the fifth inning. So Morville, this is a team that has a history of having really good hitters. And, you know, and then right now this year they've got guys like Jacob Franks. Andy Franks, he homered last night. Brent Cummins homered as well. And Pontotoc, I mean, Pontotoc's got a good team. They look pretty solid. They just left some pitches out over the plate and made a couple of errors in the field. There's one in particular before the grand slam. There was a bunt. Hunter Brannigan, I think, put the bunt down, and there was an error made on the play that allowed the bases to be loaded, and that set up the grand slam for Hughes. But that's a big win. Those teams are supposed to meet again Thursday, but we've got rain coming in the next 2 days, so they may have to push that back to Friday or even Saturday. But nevertheless, I mean, Pontotoc, again, they're having a good year. They're 12-4, I believe, and now 3-2 in division. So it's going to be a tough little division there in a 2-4A.
But, yeah, sorry. I've seen both of them play, and Pontotoc, right. they really impressed me when I saw them, and then they've kind of lost a few games since then, but they're still, that whole division's good.
Yeah.
And then Morville, when I saw them, I know I was kind of wondering, outside of Franks, Pugh, and Armistead, who's really going to step up and hit for them, and it seems like lately, you know, with Jacob Hughes hitting and Brent Cummins, you know, each hitting home runs and stuff, it looks like the rest of the guys are kind of stepping up around them, because those three guys are kind of guaranteed that they're going to do well.
Right, right. And Will Armistead did a pretty good job on the mound, hit a bit of a rough patch there in the fourth and fifth innings, had a balk that sent a run home, and then Hayden Harris stole home for Pontotoc. Now, I think technically in the book that'd go down as a balk because, I mean, he got such a jump, and this was right after the balk, and Armistead just was a little bit rattled, and he stopped his windup when Harris was about 5 feet from home plate, which is a balk, but still, Harris had home stolen, but Armistead recovered, and Pugh came in, tossed a couple of innings to get the save, so big win for Morville over Pontotoc. Tupelo, Dalton, they're just rolling along, 4-0 there in Division 2-6A. And they beat Columbus twice last night by a combined score of 25-0. Columbus wasn't long ago that they were a pretty good squad, but Tupelo just—they're playing well.
Yeah, I don't think Columbus is very good this season.
They're not.
Same thing happened with last week against Oxford in three straight games. Tupelo though is, you know, like you said, they're just rolling right along. And last week they swept South Panola. They played around with them in the second game, but they end up getting them, and then, you know, they're sitting at 4-0 now. I think they'll play Columbus again this week, go 5-0. I think that should clinch the playoffs, or they might have clinched it last night. I'm not sure, but really, well, I've seen them a couple times now, and just their pitching is just so great. Like the freshman Hunter Elliott yesterday against Columbus, he threw a perfect game. I know it was only three or four innings, but he threw a perfect game.
Yeah,
and they got that good combination of a freshman that'll pitch on Tuesday and a senior that pitches on Friday who's thrown two straight complete game shutouts in South Sanders.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, Tupelo looks like it's going to win yet another division title. It's just an annual thing that happens.
We'll see with them in Oxford next week.
That's true, though. They got to face Oxford, which has a good squad. That should be Tuesday?
Tuesday, Friday.
And Friday.
Or Tuesday, Thursday. Two times next week.
Two times next week.
Oxford is rolling as well. I think they've won 10 in a row now.
Yeah, in fact, we'll have a little something on them in the prep notebook tomorrow. Division 1-2A is pretty tough as well now. You've got East Union, Baldwin, Neusite are probably the top three. East Union beat Walnut 4-0 last night behind the pitching of Joel Wilkinson. And I got a chance to see Neusite and Baldwin play last Friday. Baldwin won 2-0. Neusite had beaten Baldwin the night before 4-3 that Thursday. They were supposed to play on that Tuesday. Weather postponed it. So Neusite won Thursday. Then I saw the game Friday at Baldwin. The Bearcats win 2-0. Blaine Martin pitched a good game. And so did Ramsey Ivey of Neusite. But Ivey basically made two bad pitches. He hit a batter, and then he gave up a home run to Braxton Neighbors there in the sixth inning, and that was the difference in the game, 2-0. But that's a tough-looking division there. But East Union probably still the favorite to win that division.
I would imagine East Union is probably the favorite to win 2A. So
yeah, maybe the whole thing.
Yeah, so I haven't seen them yet, but from what I've seen, just looking at box scores and on Twitter and stuff, is they're the real deal.
Yeah, I need to get out and see them play soon. Okay, let's wrap up the show here with our athletes of the week. We do this every week. We honor a male and female athlete for their accomplishments from the past few days. Female athlete of the week, Carly Bolden, a senior for Myrtle softball team. Pretty good numbers here, Dalton. She's tearing it up. 11 of 13, 5 doubles, a triple, 9 RBIs, 8 runs scored over her last 6 games. And they played 6 games in 5 days, the most recently Monday. So over the past week, 11 of 13. And for the season, hitting 759 with 22 RBIs.
Yeah, I guess 759's all right hitting.
It's not bad. Yeah. Fast pitch. Those are slow pitch numbers, man. That's what you hit in slow pitch, 759. So, and Myrtle's having a good year.
Anytime you see 11 of 13 in a week, you know that's a good week right there.
That's a really good week. Male athlete of the week, Chase Shaw, a junior for Alcorn Central. He's been tearing it up. 9 of 14 over his last 4 games. 4 home runs, 8 RBIs, 8 runs scored. He's got 5 home runs this year. He never had any home runs in his career the previous 2 years, and this year something seems to have just kind of clicked, and he's got 5 home runs. And so congrats to Chase Shaw and to Carly Bolden, your athletes of the week. And that's it for this episode of Prep Rally. Thanks again for tuning in. Coming to you every Wednesday. You can find us on iTunes, any of your podcast apps, or stream it online at preprally.djournal.com. You can follow us on Twitter at djournalpreps. We'll let you know when new episodes drop if you follow the Twitter account. And also just updates on high school sports can be found there. Dalton's on there at dlmiddleton8. I'm on there at bradblock. And that's it for this episode. Thanks again for joining us. For Birthday Boy Dalton, I'm Brad. We'll see you next week.